as I was getting ready for today, I have been a mess. My PowerPoint messed up 3 times. I can't get my microphone on. I can't think right. And I keep on asking God, okay, you know, I went through my classes as a speaker. You know, you're supposed to have a 5-point sermon, right, with something that you can take home. And I never seem to have that. And so I just am going to go where God would have us go today, and so that we can journey together. I believe that God has a reason when we walk into the sanctuary. And sometimes the speaker, especially special guests, seem to mess it up because they feel like they have such an assignment and they don't want to not be perfected. Well, you don't have to worry about that with me, because I already know that I'm not perfected. So I just kind of throw out the window. But on the same hand, I just feel the Spirit of God leading in such a direction in your church. And every time I come in, there's such a difference. There comes a weight of responsibility when you come and speak before you, because you're not just any people. You're not just, you know, this is not just another Sunday. But God has this plan for us on each time we gather together. And He has a plan for who's here today. And comes a weight of responsibility. And so I'm going to share a little bit about my trip today. I was asked to go to Uganda. And if you guys were here the last time, you realize that in March and February, I almost died. I had emergency gallbladder surgery, and then my appendix ruptured 4 days after I was out of the hospital. And I went sepsis, and I was in the hospital for 26 days. So my hair is not a bit much. My hair actually fell out, and I am growing back. Last time I was here, I actually wore a wig because I just wasn't, I actually had no hair the last time I was here. And I talked about my hair, and I laugh about it now because I, as I was explaining my sickness, I was talking about my hair coming out, but I had a wig on, so yeah, you probably didn't get that, did you? So as God took me through this journey, my husband and I were trained in missions. We've taken over 50, 60 teams. I usually don't share that, but it's kind of important to this story. So training is we take teams to places that most people don't want to go. And I can pack a team of 20 in about an hour. And we pack all their bags, all the supplies and everything. So I was asked to go to Uganda. I was given a 5-week notice. My first thing that wanted to come out of my mouth was a no. And as they were talking to me, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just kind of comes in and you know you're supposed to do that. And it might be even just to say hi to a stranger, or it might be going to Uganda. Either way, it's both important, and it's what He has planned for you. And so I'm on the phone and I already know my answer. But in my head, I'm like, it's not responsible. I almost just died. I'm just getting my strength back. I had all these great excuses, but I got off the phone. I knew my answer was yes. So I get ready to go to Uganda, and I am a wreck. And it's just me going. I don't know how to pack anymore. I'm looking at protein bars, and all of a sudden, all the varieties of protein bars is just too much for me. I am having anxiety attacks. I feel like my family is a mess. I feel like I just feel like I don't have it together. And surely God would not call me now in this avenue, in the dreams that I've had since I was a child now. Surely He wouldn't call me now. And so I went to my pastor, and I am weeping, and I'm like, and that's what I said to him. I said, surely He wouldn't call me now. My family is not quite right. I can't even keep my kitchen clean. Surely He wouldn't call me to this now. And he said, so Last time I read the Bible, your kitchen didn't have to be clean to be called by God. Last time I read the Bible, we were all sinners, saved by Him. The last time I read, and I said, okay, I get it. You just don't understand. You're not a woman. You're not a mother. You just don't get it. So I get it. So I started my journey to Uganda, and I said yes, and I worked through all my anxiety, and can you pull the first picture up, please? And I arrived into the country, and this was going to be a different trip. I was called assess a ministry called FOLA, For the Love of Africa. And I already knew this was going to be a different trip, and the first week kind of played out how it was supposed to. Orphanages and things like that, and slightly, but after you've done missions for so long, that's what you do. You go to orphanages, you go to the schools, you go to the churches, and that's what you do. And one of the things, the first things that happen is we went to this, and if you ever watch any documentaries of Uganda, they talk about these slums because they are the worst of Uganda. And I don't really see it that way, but that's what's said. And so For the Love of Africa, we're going to do a feeding for 300. Now, as an assessor, I know all these things about but as I show up, my real problem was there's not just 300 people here. There's like 700. And so I went to them and I said, how much food we have? And the founder of For the Love of Africa smiled, we have enough for 300. And I was like, okay. So I went back in the crowd. And I know that there's 700 here, at least 700. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm just wrong. And, you know, they serve here. They know better than me. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And they went through the program, and I went back to them. I said, how much food do we have? And they said, for 300. And finally, I went to someone that was from there, and I said, how many people do you think is here? Oh, maybe like 700, 800. No worries, though. We prayed over the food, and God always supplies. And I said, okay, like, He does always supply, but in my world, I would, you know, He supplies beforehand, and we cook food for 700. just throwing it out there. And so the children started lining up, and I think I have one more picture. Let's see, I'm all messed up. And I started playing with the kids while other people handed out food. Now, the real reason I'm playing with the kids is we don't have enough food for all these kids. And when the food runs out, I don't know what we're going to do. And so I was serving with everybody else, like they're serving, and I was serving the people and washing their hands and things like that. But when the food started running out, I started playing with the kids. And I'm thinking, God, as I'm playing with the kids, I'm thinking, they have the faith that you're going to feed everybody here, even the extra people that are now coming. And I think I could believe that too. I think. And so I go back to the food thing after I played with the kids, and there's this brand new pan, brand new utensils in it. And if you know anything about third world country, nothing's brand new, especially the cookware. And it was brand spanking, I mean shiny, and it was full of food. And I said, where did this pan come from? Oh, it came from the Holy Spirit. He provided for us. Okay. And so they served out of the pan, and they fed the 700. And And so what I want to tell you today is that if any of my stories offend you, it's okay, because they offended me too. I preach about a God who provides. I've been across the country. I can tell you millions of stories about God providing, but isn't it interesting when you're in the situation, where do you go to? What do you speak? I've been in a Haiti earthquake, and God saved me from the Haiti earthquake. I've been, you know, God healed my body many times. God has saved my life. I've been in China under gunpoint, and God saved me. But yet, it's interesting that when you're in this situation, what comes in your heart, mind? So I go with the week. They started driving me around, and they said, Kelly, they would come and get me at 8 o'clock in the morning, and one of the things I said was, I want to work, 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 and then send me home. Because originally they wanted me to go for 4 weeks, and I said, I have young kids. I said, I can only be gone for 2 weeks. So just work, work, work me, and send me home. And so they would pick me up at 8 in the morning and bring me back about 1 in the morning. And then pick me back at 8 in the morning. And somewhere in the middle of this, I'm like, oh, I'm so... should have re-evaluated the whole work, 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 send me home thing. But they were starting to drive me. And as far as speaking, I am slowly accepting that speaking is a part of my life. And they said, they picked me up one morning, and it was my first morning, and they said, we're going to speak at 3 crusades today, 2 conferences, and the night crusade. And they started driving to what was supposed to be like a leadership conference crusade thing. And I'm already nervous, and I'm flipping through my Bible like, and you're gonna lead, Kelly. You're going to lead. And I'm like, okay. So I'm flipping through my Bible. God, just give me something, give me something. And he pulls up into this house, and he said, is this where the leadership thing is? And he said, no. Today, we're going to go, before we go to leadership conference, I kind of forgot to tell you, there's this Muslim family, their son hung themselves last night, they want their house cleansed, we need to go lead them to Christ and cleanse their house. Just like that. And Kelly, you're going to lead. Okay, we walk into the house, and the whole time I'm like, you know, I would love to tell you that all these power verses came to me, but what was really coming to me is, I am saved, right? Yeah, I'm saved, and Jesus loves everybody, and he loves me, and he wants to save this family, and I am sure that something's going to happen. And I started walking to the house, and when we walked to the house, the whole family's down, and they're praying in their manner, you know, they're bowing. And we show up, and they said, nobody would come cleanse our house but you guys. And so we welcome you. Come cleanse our house. And they take us into the room, and all the evidence is still there of what took place the night before. And they say, Kelly, go ahead and lead. And in my heart, I'm thinking, you know, God, there's no book on this. You didn't train me on this. There's no book on how. There's, you know, it's like, okay, number one, take the rope down. Number two, and I started praying, and all of a sudden he said, okay, now lead them to Christ. And there's this whole family of 12. And I'm like, you know, here, Muslims, lead them to Christ. I mean, it's like a, you know, we felt Spirit in the house as well as we were cleansing it. And the family, though they didn't agree with us, they wanted someone to comfort them. And we answered. And so all of a sudden, I was like, so, you know, Jesus, he died on the cross, you know. And he goes, no, just lead them. And I said, he goes, the Holy Spirit's here. Just ask them. And I said, well, do you want to know our Christ and our God? And they all said yes. And they all bowed down. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And I led them to Christ. And it was the most eye-opening experience. It had nothing to do with me. nothing to do with how many chapters I read. It had nothing to do with how many countries I've been to. It had nothing to do with me except that I was willing to be in a place that God called me to at the time. And I was around these people that moved in the power that I've always dreamed of. They moved in the power. And so after this family got saved, they are still a part of the church, by the way. They came to church every service, every crusade. They never left. And they're still a part of the church today. So it wasn't just a fluke. They're still there. And so I started realizing that in this place of Uganda, there's just a total different with this group. There's a total different, well, it's everything I dreamed of. You know, people talk about power and of healing. And I started realizing that what I told friends when I called them, I'm out of my league. That's what I told them. And so in the second week, when I thought I couldn't take enough, I spoke at many crusades and stuff like that. In the second week, the pastor said, we have some visitors coming. And what has happened is God has opened the door in Uganda for the Kenyan prison officers to come and visit us. Now, I do work in Haiti, and when anyone sees officers, it's never a good thing. Like, and so they started getting out of the van and their uniforms, and we had breakfast, and you can see where I sat. I sat as far as I could away. That's where I sat. And so these prison officers came in, and they started quizzing me on who I was. And they said, you need to know who you are to come with us where we're about to go. And they said to me on who I was. And so they asked me, you know, are you in Christ? And of course, I'm a child of God. I was saved when I was brought up in church. Who are you today in Christ? Said, we know this is you, Pastor Kelly, but we know that you don't title yourself that way. You don't like titles. I said, you know, I am ordained, but I was brought up in a Southern Baptist religion. Women are not supposed to speak in church. And God started moving through me in a unique way. And like I said, if it offends you, it's okay. I'm offended. And I mean that, I say that jokingly, but I also say it very serious. When I viewed my life of what I was supposed to do in my life, it's not what I'm doing right now. And it surely isn't speaking at crusades and Muslims getting saved and all this stuff. And so now I'm running around with Kenyan officials in Uganda, which shouldn't make sense, but that's what happened. And the Kenyan officials opened the door for the Ugandan officials. And so there's a lot of pictures that I never could take of some really awesome stuff. And this is one, we were invited into all the prisons of Uganda. But we were invited also into all the officials' houses as well. And the prison guards here, they felt like, they said they were going to initiate me. And so they said, we're going to introduce you to crusades. And I had never, in all my experiences, spoken a crusade before. And so it's this big open field. It'd be like putting speakers out in your field out there. And they said, while we were setting up, I was already nervous because I don't know what. Crusade speaking is completely different. It's a mixture of a lion and a yell kind of roar kind of thing. There was this house that was not too far from our field. Came by and they said, this woman's really complaining because she is lame and she's been in her bed for 3 months or 2 to 3 months and she can't move and she's really afraid of the sound. Can't get away from the sound. And so the Kenyan soldier that I'm standing by, he said, well, Kelly, you know what's wrong. She's just jealous. She wants to join the crusade. So just go raise her up and bring her out to the crusade. We have about 10 minutes. And so I'm like, and by this time I'm like, okay, go raise her up. We have 10 minutes. Okay. So I walk. I'm praying over her, and I'm praying over her, and it seems like a century has went by, and I'm like, I know, God, that you want to do this, and you can do this. The Kenyan soldier comes in and says, we don't have time. I said, rise. And she gets up and looks at her and says, now clean yourself up, and I'll see you at the crusade, and walks out. And I'm like, no celebration, no nothing. And I was like, these people are crazy. Like, these people, I give up. Like, I don't want to speak. I don't even want to sit next to you. I don't have words. On the same hand, I'm like, this is what we talked about. We talked about God raising, God healing the wounded. And yet, I'm like, you don't even celebrate. Isn't that like, what kind of religion is that? You don't even say thank you. You didn't even stop. You know, and he looks at me and I'm like, he's like, Kelly, we gotta go. We gotta start. And I'm like, we gotta start. Yeah. And a woman came to crusade for the rest of the week. And it was crazy to me because the woman was like, you know, she was already a Christian. But even the woman was like, well, of course, the people of God came and I rose. And I'm like, this was a setup. It'd be a setup, you know, and I'm running it through my head. And so then we stopped along the street that day, that night on the way home. And there was a man on a corner and the pastor said, enough is enough. Slams on his brakes. And I'm like, okay, I've passed this man for almost a month. Enough is enough. Gets out. You're healed. Grabs his hand, pulls him up, and then he gets in the car and drives off. And I'm like, make sure he's saved and invite him to church and, you know, like, at least lay hands on him or, you know, like, what is going on here, God? What are you doing with me? And so, let's see. I promise a few stories. Okay, so then, what I noticed for four nights at the crusade is at nighttime, the lights would go off. And I noticed one of the soldiers would go out and they would rub their foot across this line and you could see the line. And in the dark, and it's kind of out in the field, and they would raise their hands and say a few things, and in Jesus' name, and the lights would come back on. Now, I watched this for four nights, and I want to be honest with you, for my mental stability, I had to believe that it was just, you know, like I didn't put much energy or thought into it, that the lights would go off, would go out, they would cross out this line, and the lights would come back on. I, you know, incidents that it happened four nights in a row, whatever. And on the fifth night, the lights went off again, and the soldier said, we are so sick of this witch doctor, Kelly. You watched us all week. Go out, take care of the cow bloodline, and get the lights back on. And I looked at him like, you're really going to do this to me? Like, okay. So I walk out in the field, and I notice the witch doctor is about from me to the door. Alright. Erase the cow bloodline in Jesus' name. You're good. Please turn on the lights. I've seen your power. And finally I'm praying and the soldier starts walking across the field and I'm like, hey God, just do whatever you do and get the lights on. Please. Whatever. Whatever. And the witch doctor is standing there, and the soldier's walking across, and he said, I said, cross out the cow blood line. Tell the witch doctor that your Jesus' blood is more powerful than the cow blood, and get the lights on. And he walks back across. Okay. Okay. Yes. Cross out the cow bloodline. Check. realize that that's just cow blood. Check. Go to the witch doctor. Sure. Yeah. Check. Tell the witch doctor that Jesus' blood is more powerful than their cow blood. And so I walked up to the witch doctor and I said, I was almost like, excuse me, sir. Just want to let you know that Jesus' blood is more powerful than the cow bloodline. And the witch doctor said, you really sound convinced. I said, I am convinced. And he said, you really sound convinced. I said, I am convinced because I've been healed, I've been saved, I've been redeemed, and this lion came on me. He is more powerful than any other thing. There's nothing above his name. And I started walking across the field and the lights came back on. And the soldier said, see? And I said, you don't ever do that to me again. See nothing. And so I really feel like when I was thinking about processing this trip, this is the first time I've spoke, if you can't tell, about this trip, because I didn't know how to process all the miracles and all the crusades. I spoke 76 times in 2 weeks. And the crusades, hundreds of people would come to Christ. The leadership conferences, people were delivered, and the very people that I was afraid of, my last day of conference, the reason I made this picture was I finally hit this place where I realized that it really isn't about me. It really isn't about how much I prepare or my background. It's really about him. And I was in this women's conference, and I was supposed to be, I had some sermon spoke up and wrote up, and I got up and I just felt the wind of the Holy Spirit, and what came out of my mouth was, you know, I was abused too, is what came out of my mouth. And after I said that statement, I for a long time, and some people thought it was like a dramatic pause. It wasn't a dramatic pause. I had no idea where I was going after that. I was abused too, and what came out of my mouth was I started talking about my freedom walk and how confusing it was. And but God is not a God of confusion, and so he brought healing into my body, and he brought healing into my mind from my abusive past, and he set me free, and he'll set you free too. And all of a sudden, these people started coming out of the congregation in because they all couldn't fit up. And I looked at those who are now my friends, my brothers and my sisters, and they started moving up with me, and we started ministering, and God started coming down with deliverance, and people were healed there. And the reason I have this picture is this is the point that I realized that God wants to do something that's beyond my understanding. He wants to do something beyond my comfort zone. And if I'm willing to move in that place, he's willing to move with me. And I want to tell you that he's here today. There's some of you that are questioning. And sometimes I almost don't want to speak about things like Uganda, because sometimes it's so easy to say, well, that's in Uganda. But I want to tell you that that's here today, too. The very God that was with me in Uganda and stretched me in Uganda, the reason he stretched me in Uganda is because I was being too lazy here. The reason he stretched me in Uganda is because he could take away all my comfort zones, and he had me. He had me. I was with people when they told me to go do something. I basically, there was no other choice. There was not a neighbor's house to run to. There was not another church for me to run to. There was not another place for me to run to. God wanted to deal with me. He wanted to stretch me because there is something in us that's for the kingdom, that's for this time, it's for this reign. And he wanted to do it in us. And so as I was processing this trip, I told my pastor, in fact, he kind of joked around with me that I was coming here first, because he said, when do you want to speak? On Wednesday? It was right after my trip, and I'm like, yeah, you might want to give me a few weeks. And I had to process, how do I describe the power that we seem to always pray for? What your religious background is, no matter where you come from, when you come to God, you come to this place of, I know that God can heal. I know that He can heal. And you know, it doesn't matter where you come from, but when crisis happens, when a family member gets sick, all of a sudden, you're praying for His healing then. And so I wonder today, what am I going to share as a power scripture verse? And so I studied all the power verses. You know, even the ones that says, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And He moved with great power and stuff. And what God kept on impressing on me was the scripture in Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I was like, okay, so you want me to talk about all this work, and I will give you rest. So I studied rest. Rest is an active knowledge of trust. Rest is an active action of reliance. So if I rested and I sat here and I rested, I am trusting that this pew is going to hold me. You know, sometimes when we hear this verse, come all to me who are heavy laden and I will give you rest, we're thinking of sleep, you know, you're all out. No, He's saying, come unto me, because when you come to me, you can trust me. I can hold you up. I can uphold you. I will uphold my word that comes out of you. I can be trusted. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and realize it's not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about where you come from. It's not about how many chapters you read today. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and you can rest upon the fact that I am the same yesterday, I'm the same today, I will be the same forever. You can rest upon the fact that I am the faithful one, that my name is above all names, that I give the peace that passes all understanding, that I'm the one that brings life and light to you. And because sometimes the Message version kind of talks like me, it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's what I saw. And these soldiers who moved in such power, and not just the soldiers, but just the whole Ugandan people that I was with, moved with such power and prayed over people and walked in impossible situations. It wasn't that they were powerful or that they had reached a level that is unreachable. It's that they rested in the fact of the truth who He is. They knew that God could uphold them, that God could hold them. And they knew His word very well. One thing I was convicted about is I had one of the Ugandan soldiers, or Kenyan soldiers, say, have you ever shot a gun before? I said, yes. Do you know how to aim it? Yes. Do you know where the safety is? Yes. Do you know how to put bullets in it? Yes. By this time, I'm getting irritated. Like, if I'm going to shoot a gun, I'm going to know these things because, you know, guns can hurt people, whatever, whatever. Of course, I know how to put a bullet in it. Do you know how to clean it? So you know how to take apart the gun and clean it? Yes. You don't know your word that way. You don't treat your word that way. And I thought about it for a second, and I know my word, but I didn't treat it the same as they did. You know, the word is our most powerful weapon. And yet, when I compare it to what I know about a gun, do I know my word that way? And it really convicted me and made me search on how I can know it better in times that they were facing. So my time is running to end, and but another scripture that came to me, even though I have 20 on here and I'm like sharing two, but was John 1:5. It says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And because I like Message, I'm going to read that same in Message, but it's John 1:3-5. "Everything was created through him, and nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light by to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out." So sometimes we go through life and you know, a certain song, you know, kind of lights us up. And we glow for a time. These are supposed to glow for 8 hours, but they're from Walmart, so I give them like 3, right? And then, you know, I'm just going to talk from my personal experience. You know, I lived in March, so that gave me a light, you know. Sometimes when you face death and God moves in and gives you a light. And then you have other times where, you know, you have a real understanding of a scripture and gives you light. You prayed for something, gives you a light. And then you walk into a place and you actually witness this to someone. You actually are obedient and it lights you up. And then you get what I'm saying, right? You pray in the Holy Spirit, it gives you a light. You work in a place and God works with you and you feel his strength and it gives you a light. And you start shining for him, and you think this light is never going to go out. But unnourished, unfaded, it starts going dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But God said that he gives us a light, and it's our life. It's our life. And when he gives us a light, it never goes out. It's always nourished and always glows and always in a place. And as I watched this church today, I had this 5-point sermon today and 23 slides. It was beautiful. God is saying to you, "Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Active rest. I will uphold you. Do not be afraid. I'm going to uphold you in this place. Sometimes when we're heavy laden, we don't even know it. I have conversations with friends and I tell them, "You're just tired. You need to rest." I've had times where friends had to tell me, "You're just tired. You need to rest." We talk about this God that moves powerful, and we read the scriptures where he moved for his people. And we declare week after week that we are his people. And yet life comes, darkness comes, and we hold up our glory to the darkness, and we forget that we have the whole Creator the one that is light behind us. So we hold up our little light and we stay standing. We put our feet and we plant our feet and we say, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. And we stand against the storm and all God is saying, no, come to me. Rest in me. I'm standing right behind you. All of life. I am life. I'm the one that brings life. And I'm standing behind you. I'm the one that moves. I'm the one that does these things. I'm the one that heals. And I'm right behind you. There's all these different analogies of standing, and I'm not saying that, I'm just saying I took them all wrong. See, when people told you to stand against the storm, that's what I did. I planted my feet and I stood against the storm, but see, I took it all wrong. You know, what they were probably describing is they were describing that when they stood there, that they were standing in the arms of Jesus, and I wasn't doing that. When God said that he was going to call me to walk with officials in other countries, and all of a sudden it happened, you have to understand that walking with government officials, I had a dream when I was there, but in my dream, my kitchen was clean, just to let you know. My children were perfect. We were all a perfect family. We got along. Every time we got out, you know, it was like the Brady Bunch. You know, when I was going to reach my dream, I was going to be like, spiritually capable. Got off the plane, and I'd be like, here I am, right? God didn't call us like that, because if he did, then we would think we actually did something. He doesn't call us like that because none of us is perfect. We all have sin. He doesn't call us like that because what he wants to do on the earth is so powerful and so impactful. It's not about what we can learn on our own or about the words. His spirit, and it's about him reaching his people. The reason I got off the plane and I got off the plane, I'm like, God can't even use me. Like, I'm so lost. I told one of the soldiers that, like, when I got here, I feel so lost. There's so much in my life, and this is not how it was supposed to be. And he goes, this is exactly how it's supposed to be, because then he can use you. He can use you in that. So if you're here today and you are struggling, you're struggling with life and you are struggling with who you are, I'm going to tell you that this is the perfect place for you to be, because God can use you. When you do everything wrong and you don't have it together and your kitchen's not clean and it should be clean and you feel like you, yes, all the places that haven't reached your mark, set you to, I want to use you, I want to move in those moments that he'll be at the grocery store and say, I'll pray for that person or witness to that person. This world isn't crying out for a perfect wannabe Christian. This world is crying out for the power of God. If we're crying out for the power of God, could you not believe what the lost is crying out for? Give me something real. They just want somebody to touch them. It should be us. It should be us touching them. It should be us touching them. It should be us touching them. Because we carry the power of God. We carry something that's beyond ourselves. We carry something that's beyond our what we think we should have done. We're carrying something. Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. There's people here dealing with stuff that I may not even, I already know I don't have a word for. And sometimes because we don't have words for it, we silence. But there's a God inside of us that says, come and rest on me. Come, I will uphold you. Come and speak my truth of him, and I will move in that situation. So I'm just going to do that. And if you want to, you can stand up and you can join me. I'm going to start praying, and I am going to start releasing and declaring who God is in this place. And what I want you to do is I want you to declare with me. And you don't have to say it as loud as I am, because, you know, I still have the crusade speaking in me. We didn't have microphones most of the time. We had to scream. But just start declaring who he is in your situation. And so I'm going to start, and you can join me. God, we declare that you are the faithful one. We declare that your blood, that you died on the cross, and your blood has covered us, and it still heals, and it still overcomes, and it still covers us today. God, we declare your goodness in this place. We declare that you are the one that sends an angelic host to minister. We declare that your Holy Spirit is the one that can minister to us, that can heal us, that can move through us. God, we declare right now that your word is true. Your word is true. And it says in your word that we will not be overcome with fear, but we can move in power, love, and a sound mind. God, we declare in our situations that though they look impossible, you said that by your word that you make the impossible possible. God, we declare right now that your goodness is here. Oh, Father, we declare right now that you say that you will come and you will bring light and life to all situations. God, you say that you work everything together for good. And God, we declare that you are working our situations out for good. God, we declare that in our hearts and our minds, even the things that we know that we have struggled with, that you can bring your life and your light and we can overcome. Addictions will be no more. Addictions will be no more. Addictions will be no more. God, we just declare your healing over the illnesses here. We declare your power of healing, God. Come and move in every cell. Come and move in every place. Come and move in every being of our bodies, God. And for our loved ones, we ask you to do the same. Move throughout them, God. God, we declare now that where confusion lies, that your truth will bring understanding. Your truth will bring a development. That your truth will bring a strategy. God, we declare right now that by your word and by who you are, that we are a people of strategy. That we have favor. That we bring blessings wherever we come, God. God, we declare by your word that when we walk into a place that the atmosphere changes, God. We are atmosphere changers, God. And God, we just right now surrender ourselves to you. And we say, use me, show me, guide me, direct me. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name.